This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Soldanela. I speak with the one and only amazing, ferocious Rosalba Rolón. There's no one like her in this world. Directora artística del Teatro Pregones, Teatro Rodante Puertorriqueño. Y we're going to talk about microgrants.
Yes, thank you, Soldanela, for inviting me, and thank you for your own leadership in all the work that you have been doing surrounding the current events in Puerto Rico, and not only in Puerto Rico, you've been there in the front lines of many other efforts on behalf of what's fair to our community. And I'm excited that I have this opportunity to talk about how we at Pregones and Puerto Rican Traveling Theater began to feel a bit impotent, if maybe that's the word, but because we wanted to do something, and so many people want to do something. I mean, it's just such an outpour of love and devotion to Puerto Rico, whether you're Puerto Rican or not. I have received so many phone calls and letters and emails of my colleagues and friends. So, and then the community, the diaspora, the communities across the country are so active. New York alone has so many amazing efforts that we're so proud of. And so we certainly at an individual levels connect with those efforts and are part of them. In the Bronx alone, you know, I know that Hostos Community College, as well as many other institutions and organizations, are pulled together, including Hostos and Pregones and Comité Noviembre, and all of that is how can we do it in a way that's effective, knowing of course that we don't want to overwhelm the logistics in the island in Puerto Rico, which because they're dealing with the logistics of survival at this point. So but everything is so well organized. Hispanic Federation, of course, is doing an amazing job. Yeah. Amazing. Bravo, Hispanic Federation. And they got it. You know, so many of these things are just doing so well. And yet we, even though individually we're collaborating with these organizations and we promote through our website and through our emails and e-news, we promote their efforts and their, not only efforts, their actual delivery of goods, you know, and services. We were thinking, how can we do something ourselves for the people we know and love? Over the past 40 years and 50 for the Puerto Rican Traveling Theater, we have been partnering with artists in Puerto Rico, bringing them and presenting them. We have gone to Puerto Rico. We have brought artists to do, you know, from the dance fields and the dance and theater and music and visual artists. So we have such an extended family, and we thought, you know, what can we do that could bring some immediate relief and that is manageable, that is unrestricted, that's for them to figure out what to do. And we thought of the idea of an amount of money that would be modest in many ways, but doable for us to fundraise for. So we thought of a structure of micro grants, you know, relief grants of $500 per artist, right? Something that we thought, well, if we raise $1,000, there are two artists, meaning that there are two families, and that's how we see it. It's one artist and there's an artist and their family. We originally thought, well, maybe, you know, we can help restore spaces, but that's a huge undertaking, and it would be imposing to the artist what her or his priorities should be. I think that if an artist receives a micro grant, they and only they know what their priority is. And it could range from restoring their workspace to rebuilding a crib for their child, because it was wiped out or it was, you know, destroyed by the hurricane. So I felt that we didn't really have the right to tell an artist what to do with the $500, and our task is to make sure it gets in their hands. And then from there, we began to think about how the logistics involved, you know. So we want to keep it simple at first. What we are planning to do and what we wanted to do is avoid the, since they, we have, there's so many, you know, we are a great staff and a group core team, But we are, you know, we have our season in place. We have a lot of work, and we're thinking, how are we going to handle this? With great people like yourselves and others around us and our board, but it's still a small group compared with other institutions. And what we decided to do was to use our season, which is already in place. For example, the October season at Pregones in the Bronx. We have three amazing events. And we thought, why don't we use what we already have in the calendar as a very, you know, organic mechanism to get people to come and do this. And we, you know, there are financial implications for us because we are committed to all of the artists that are participating in our events that are working. And so we have to cover those expenses. But we think we have enough friends and supporters to help us do both. In other words, allow us to take at least two of the events and dedicate 100% of the ticket sales from those events to this fund. And at the same time, meet our obligations with the artists who are presenting that or are performing at the same time through other donations and other support. And then we thought, you know, also then on the other events, when we do not, dedicate the ticket sales, we can still pitch for our audience and we can sell, you know, t-shirts and we can sell all kinds of things to raise the money. Thinking we, you know, if we have enough for five artists and their families to receive $500 each, then that would be great because we continue to work with the other efforts of relief in the city, as we said. So it's not like we stop there. So this month in October, we have what we call the trifecta, which is three events, all and then coincidentally, all related to Puerto Rico, which is not always the case. So our first event is this coming October, next Saturday, October 7th. At 8 o'clock at Pregones, and it is the theater concert of the Harlem Hellfighters on the Latin beat. Now, excuse me, for those of you who know the full production that we did a few years ago, and you know, I think we'll enjoy very much the concert version. The Harlem Hellfighters is an amazing story. It is the story of the 15th regiment of an all black symphony orchestra or military orchestra at that moment that went to France to fight during World War I. Now, for reasons that will be explained that night in the concert, which is part of the show itself, the creator, James Rhys Europe, the creator of this band, needed at least 15 or 16 or maybe even 17 more musicians who specialize on reed instruments, saxophones, clarinets, trumpets. And he knew that he could get these artists in Puerto Rico. And that's how he got permission to go and recruit dark-skinned and or black Puerto Ricans who were amazing musicians and recruited them for the Harlem Hellfighters band. They were not called Harlem Hellfighters at that point. That happened later. It was in France when they were baptized Harlem Hellfighters. But at any rate, the band, this amazing, what was called the All Negro Band, was half of it was Puerto Rican and half of it was African American. And that's when the, you know, those beats of jazz and Latin tempos and all that, you know, began to make sense together. So that's the story of the Harlem Hellfighters. It is going to be beautiful. It's going to be a full out 15 people on stage, including musicians and actors. And so every single penny that is collected that evening from ticket sales will be going to this fund, which is what the Harlem Hellfighters would have done. That is followed by none other than Las Hijas de Bernarda, which is a dance theater group that is coming from Puerto Rico. Imagine that. So we were nervous at first. We're thinking, oh my God, will they be able to make it? But it seems that everything is in place for them to arrive and do two amazing performances of this incredible show that I saw at the Fine Arts Center in Puerto Rico last year. And I thought this really belongs on the Pregones stage as well. And they accepted our invitation. And not only that, that from New York, they got straight to the Festival de Teatro en Cádiz in Spain to participate in an international festival. So this is a theater dance troupe, a theater dance piece with an amazing group of dancers and singers and musicians that tell the story of the daughters of the famous Bernalda Alba of the classical Federico Garcia Lorca's play. It's tragic, it's fun, it's funny, it's political, it's all that. And that will be on the 14th and the 15th of October. And then the last week, our classic piece, El Apagón, or The Blackout, returns to our stage, starring Flaco Navaja and Jorge Merced.
It seems miraculous.
And a great four-piece band. And right after that, we are leaving for Los Angeles to participate and represent in New York City in the Encuentro de las Americas International Theater Festival. We'll be there for 3 weeks. So it's a very, very active month. And on each occasion, the people who are listening to this podcast will have an opportunity to contribute to the fund that will go 100% delivered to each of the artists that are pre-selected from our long list of artists that we've worked with and that whose stories we have, you know, corroborating that are really at this point really, really sad because some of them have lost their means of survival. Let's not forget that sometimes when an artist is not on stage and we think about what do they do during the week, well, you know, the cliche story is that they are bartenders, but that's not necessarily always the case. For most of these artists, they're teaching artists and they're not teaching. Schools are closed. They are, you know, they go to the fairs. So the visual artists, they go to the different fairs. The poets distribute their poetry or sell their books. And that right now is not happening. It can't happen because it might not be a priority for most people to pay for a ballet class. But what happens to that teacher who depends on her or his students or to have 10 students on a given day? So we're talking about a real loss of income, but also let's not forget that artists have families, and we sometimes, you know, forget that for a career to be viable, the artist needs to have these things in place. So this is why we chose our peers as artists. And in the meantime, of course, as I said, contributing to other causes that take care of many other sectors that are just as important. It is just that for us, it is about extending our hand to our family in Puerto Rico in many ways. So that's the scope of our drive. And we are now finalizing partnerships so that this money will be delivered with transparency and very fast and with a minimum close to zero type of paperwork, but at the same time, we know that the transaction occurred artist to artist, so that's where we are.
And it's for the month of October.
It is for the month of October, but I have to say that something is happening, and we will reconvene on that. We launched the news on Saturday, thinking by next week, if we have, as I said, $1,000, we're talking about two families, or $1,500, three families. And in less than 48 hours, we have enough micrograns for seven families. Over the past 48 hours, we have received donations from, I believe, eight different states. Small ones that are as important as the large ones. The smallest one, you know, $25, $50, but also $500, and even one of $1,000 today. It seems that this can work and that this is going to continue to grow, and then we'll decide whether we want to extend it. Because as some of our partners were saying in Puerto Rico, the thing is that it's going to really take 2 or 3 weeks for even some of the remote areas to be able to be operational. And we want to make sure that the funds are distributed to artists in many areas, regions of the island, as well as in the island municipalities. So we don't want it all to be concentrated in San Juan or in the south. No, it's about trying to distribute it as much as we can. So it might be that we need to extend, or it might be that we'll stop on October 31. And if it has grown so much, maybe we can partner with someone else who will be able to handle the volume if it gets very high, which we hope it will, of course. But for now, yes, it does end in October 31st. And right now, our desire is that if people can make a donation, that is amazing. And if they can make the donation in person at the theater at one of the events, it's even better, because then we have then an occasion to celebrate together.
Yeah. So how do you feel?
I was feeling, you know, every day is a different challenge because we hear the stories both from our loved ones and you know, from friends and colleagues, and then we hear the stories of people who have lost everything materially possible and still keep their hopes up. So many people helping people, so many people activated, you know. It defies every possible assertion of the contrary that we hear in some of the news here. Hardworking people, we always have been, we always will be.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's, I guess the first, it's just only human. The first thing we want to know is how is my family? How am I, you know? And luckily for us, you know, our family is doing well. Some have lost, as I said, most things materially, but they're well, they're healthy, you know, which is important. Mm-hmm. That's not the case for other people. And that's why, we just have to do this.
Yes.
Again, we, you know, in addition to promoting the work of so many other amazing, amazing efforts. I know last night there was a huge event at Latea, at the Clemente, excuse me, in the Lower East Side, and Yarani del Valle, one of our artists, worked so loud together with Loisaida Center. I mean, the work they're doing, Acacia, everything is important, and we have to say bravo to each one of these efforts. Mm-hmm. It's the Lehman College concert as well. I know that about an hour ago, I received a call from my good friend, Mari Torres and Henry Hutchinson, the violinist. They were in Philadelphia in a concert. And the concert is dedicated to a relief fund as well over there. So it's happening everywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Mayday worked.
Oh my gosh, yes, it did work. It is working. But in our cases, is the sort of the residual value of it. Moving forward, we will have strengthened our family ties, mm-hmm. And beyond money, of course. And I want to say that we plan to keep the recipients' list private, because since this is a relief effort, and I think we need to protect the privacy of the artists who receive it. And some of the donors have requested that their donations are be kept private. So the data we'll like for the artists to know who gave the money. And also we'll take it one case at a time. And, but we will at some point gather the data, you know, how many artists in what regions, and we will publish that, and we'll let people know how far their contribution went. Moving forward, we will continue, and we will probably just deepen our ties with the artists in Puerto Rico. And I have the feeling that the exchange is just going to grow. So, you know, it's going to be very active from now on, even more than it has been. So that would be a good thing, I think.
I think so, too.
Yeah, yeah.
To go back to exchanges, you have so many exchanges in the history of your artistic career,
mm-hmm.
con pregones.
Yeah.
How many would you say in the arc of time?
Oh my God, in collaborations? Well, you have participated in some of the most active ones. The one that you've been part of, for example, our collaboration with Roadside Theater, in Whitesburg, Kentucky, in Northern Virginia, that region of the Appalachian Mountains, and just entered its 22nd year. You were there the first round, I think, of collaborations. We just came back. Now Caridad de la Luz, La Bruja, is part of the exchange as well. We just came back about 4 weeks ago, the end of October, after spending a beautiful week there, sharing our work with the locals over there. Continue our exchange with master artist Ron Short and a new generation of Apple Shop people, which who are just fantastic. Apple Shop is the parent company of organization of Rosai Theater. So, for example, that's one of them. Then we are involved in the Carousel Project that involves exchanges with our dear friends in Peru and South Africa and Belgium, Slovakia, and Rotterdam. And that we've been doing now for perhaps, I think it's, what to say, 2002, maybe. So that works. And then more recent collaborations that we're just giving birth to with organizations and sister theaters in Alaska, in Hawaii as well. That is really, we're in the middle of that. Part of our ensemble just came back from Alaska last week, and they'll be coming here in December to visit with us. I do believe in that more than perhaps anything else, you know, in terms of the strength of what you get from building work together, you know. So we do what we do. We never stop. But just when you reach out and begin to create with other people, it's a whole new adventure. And so how many? I don't know. We have, 7, 8 instances of long-term collaborations with some 18 countries or so. And to date, we've worked or toured or visited or exchanged with 511 cities in the United States and 37 states. So that's a lot of time on the road. That's a lot of time on the road.
It's amazing.
Yeah, but I love it, you know.
And what have you? What do you think is the beauty
of it?
What you found out through all these years in the theater and listening to stories?
Well, I quote often. Someone once said, you know, there is just a lot of strength that you get from having deep roots and very wide or broad wings, and that's where we are, you know. Yes, we are very rooted in our Bronx community, in our neighborhood, in knowing who our neighbors are, in learning from them, creating with them, you know. Right now we're in a new initiative, actually, where we will be doing a whole circle of oral history projects with many organizations in the Bronx towards a new production in 2 years. And then since our merger with the Puerto Rican Traveling Theater, to just go head first into those incredible years of building work inside our community, but then being, you know, all those years of Puerto Rican Traveling Theater going into communities in the summer tours and performing. You have done that too with Puerto Rican Traveling Theater, performing in the streets. Just a seed of street theater, at least in our community, in New York, in the 60s, in the 70s. That's what inspired us. And eventually we did the same thing. And then to establish that incredible theater. And then now today, it is, you know, right in the middle of the Broadway district. And what do we do with that image of having our own theater in the district? And we want people to know that we belong there. We belong in the Bronx and we belong there. And so what that does is that you remain plugged into a very large community of people who are very creative. And so right now we're also as involved with the Latino Theater Commons, for example, which is a huge movement of new generations of Latinx theater practitioners who have embraced the work with the people who came before them. And together we are really doing some very, very special things. This festival in LA is an example of that, of you know, old guard and new guard, so to speak, coming together and understanding that we are one. And what happens when we gather is that those of us who are have experience in doing collaborations are able to both lead and learn from new movements in a way, new experiences. So, you know, I don't think I could live my artistic life without collaborations being a big part of it. I think it makes us stronger locally and it expands our vision of the world. And whatever impact we can have from what we know will grow. You know, will be that much more stronger. So
the world needs artists.
Oh my gosh, there is an incredible, there's this beautiful poet, Kiki Aviles. He's a Salvadoran poet who has lived in Washington, D.C. for many, many years. And he wrote this beautiful poem, If poets led the world, and it's a whole beautiful poem about imagine if the world was led by a poet, you know. And so that's where we are.
Thank you.
Thank you, Soldanela, for this amazing initiative that you have.
I love it.
Oh, you should love it. We love it too. I love it too.